offering a most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Thank you for staying with us. We had a little technical glitch there. Now we are back and ready to start this fourth discourse in the series. We are going through the 1991 summer course series, and we completed three discourses. This is the fourth one, and we're going to start that this week. So before we talk a little about the discourse we had last week, till the last week, let me invite Brother Sai Prakash, as always, to join all of us. Sairam Sai Prakash.
Sairam Prem. Yes, this is the fourth discourse, and Swami is going to start off with one of the Upanishads, Ishavasya Upanishad. That's the title of this chapter. But before we go on to that, as you rightly said, a quick recap of what Swami has spoken in the last discourse.
Right, I think the past couple of discourses were very enlightening, to say the least, as all other discourses. But as we've discussed many times, even in the previous series, there seems to be a certain structured approach and a theme-based approach when it comes to Samukos discourses.
Right.
Where Swami is, you know, set out that I'm going to speak about this. And in fact, before he concludes the discourse, he even says that what he's going to speak in the following discourses or the discourse which is following next. And that itself gives a certain amount of a very profound approach to that entire topic and theme. Because every discourse of Swami is like that, but that's what sometimes makes Samukos discourses pretty special.
Yeah, and as we discussed even in the previous episode, Swami comes back to this issue of sanskara and culture and refinement. And he says that is in, you know, it's a kind of the essence of Bharatiya culture. So our culture is based on sanskara, refinement. And I think the discourse ended with how Babur told his son that, you know, you are going to rule a land so rich in its culture, you should not forget the importance of that and learn the lessons that it offers.
Right. In fact, there's one theme which Swami is going to speak in this discourse.
Mm-hmm.
We were discussing about it last week also, where Swami speaks of the four important things that should define your life.
Yes.
You know, Kala, Karana and Kartavya. We'll come to that because it's a very interesting part. Mm-hmm. But more or less it says, it gives us an idea of why Swami is, whenever he speaks about Indian culture, praises it so much. As I always say when I'm talking about patriotism, you know, if I am patriotic about being an Indian, it's a different thing.
Right.
But here is somebody who has the choice of choosing the country to be born in, and you know, Swami is not an Indian, a patriotic Indian by birth, you know, by choice.
By choice, he's a
patriot by choice.
Right.
It only comes to show that, you know, the previous discourse Swami spoke about Tattvamasi.
Yes.
When there is this idea that this is my goal, mm-hmm. to realize my inner divinity, that will flow into each one of these four aspects that Swami is going to speak of today, where you speak about what is your duty, how will you spend your time, mm-hmm. and what do you see as productive time spending, and what do you see as a purposeful life. All of that changes the moment you place for yourself a goal so lofty.
That's true. In fact, you know, I had a misplaced notion, mm-hmm. that most of the Upanishads give you only the Gyan part of it, the wisdom part of it. Yes, of course, they do show you pointers. But the way Swami is expanding here in this discourse, he has taken two simple, not simple things, I mean two themes he has taken, that is Tyaga and sacrifice and
Bhoga.
Pleasure.
Right.
Pleasure and sacrifice. These are the two topics Swami is about to speak. And how beautifully he brings it out in this chapter. So, you know, I was always under the impression that the Upanishads is purely that it shows you, gives you what the truth is. It teaches you what the truth is. But it also apparently shows you how to attain the truth. How you should reflect it in your day-to-day life.
In fact, general commentaries on Ishavasya Upanishad say that it's special because it's very, very precise. It's one of the shortest Upanishads. But at the same time, its definitions are equally precise.
Okay.
You know, it deals with defining what the Atma is and what is the divine within is.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't deal much about the duality aspect, mm-hmm. or as the last week we saw the Tattvamasi. So beautifully Swami said, you know, this is Tat, that mm-hmm. is Tvam, and what bridges it is Asi, whether it is mind, whether it is nature, whether it is, you know, the process which takes you there. But this Upanishad is said to concentrate more on the definition of the divine within each individual.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, when you go through these discourses, it really, you know, your heart kind of pleads out, you know, why don't we all read more of Swami's discourses?
Very true.
It's so very beautiful.
Mm.
Every randomly, you know, when you go through a discourse, you find that there is so much. There is, I mean, endless wisdom. And every time you go through a discourse, any discourse, you're sure to be surprised with some beautiful concept which will catch your attention.
You know, just this word Upanishad, I think we discussed this even in the first. You know, Swami, when he started speaking, means when he spoke, every moment was an Upanishad, because when he taught, and the different scenarios come to my mind. You know, like you're sitting right in front of Swami in the Kulwant Hall and Swami is giving a discourse. That is one form of Upanishad. Earlier he would give discourses in the Bhajan Hall. And then there are these beautiful interviews that Swami would give group of students, like your 10th class students come, your undergraduate student come, and everything was an Upanishad. You know, we would sit right next to him in the interview room. Then Kodai sessions. You know, you're sitting right at the feet of the master and he's giving you that is Upanishad. That's what, you know, he is always
so many, even as you're describing that. How many scenes, how many hours Swami has spent standing in that portico talking to the students?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, putting his hands at the back and gently swaying from one side to another.
Shifting his weight from one feet to the other for hours, you know.
Hours.
45 minutes at a stretch at one point, then take a few steps and then would speak to somebody else. And that beautiful footage we have of one of the summer courses in Vrindavan, the Swami standing on the parapet wall and addressing the youth.
Exactly, the early 70s.
Right, without any mic, without any, I don't think there was even a translator.
Yeah.
From the scene, it appears like they are doing some social service and Swami chose to, you know, interact with them. And Swami standing there on the parapet wall and speaking, and all of them are laughing. And
you know, the only thing that comes to my mind is, here Swami is going to talk about Tyaga, and in essence what he says is, give up the fruit of your action. If you see, Swami himself has exemplified that. No, he, at the end of 10 years or 15 years, he could have said, I have told so much, why are you people are not following that? He just gives, that is, he is a source, but he is not looking for results. That he has left. No, he says, I don't expect anything from you. And you can see, because it's not possible for anybody to come back with renewed energy, with absolute, you know, 100% commitment and involvement. In every Treyi session when he starts speaking, you can see the involvement. You can see his, you know, there is absolute, as if, you know, the moment he finishes that discourse, the whole humanity is just going to change. With that level of commitment and that level of assertion, Swami gave every speech.
Yeah, it reminds me of what one of the MBA students were sharing.
Mm-hmm.
This used to happen very often. Swami would get very upset with students once in a while. That's the beauty, you know, when you're saying this, Swami never expected, Swami. But there would be times when Swami would say that, I'm fed up with you boys. None of you are changing. No use talking to you. There was a discourse where Swami said, I'm going to stop giving discourses henceforth because you're not following.
Right.
No, Swami would, if I could put it that way, he would put up some acts like that.
Yes.
Probably at least that way we'll get pinched.
Yes.
I mean, this is one occasion when these MBA boys, Swami was very upset with. And Swami went to the extent of saying, Swami said, I am Shanta Swarupa. He said, I am the one who's in eternal peace. And you boys have managed to spoil that peace. So he said, I'm fed up, you boys have managed to, you know, upset that eternal peace, then what do I say? But that's the thing, you know, if somebody was really upset like that, he wouldn't come back the next day and then continue the same way.
Exactly.
He just uses everything to, you know, poke us, make fun of us, mock us, or, you know, lovingly guide us or inspire us. Something so that, you know, you pick it up and do it for your good.
Right, exactly. And that, again, his love. That's it.
Right.
You know, in the Upanishad Vahini, Swami has actually told why this Upanishad is called Ishavasya Upanishad.
Mm-hmm.
And it derives its name from the first word of the Upanishad,
right,
itself. So the first verse is Ishavasya Midam Sarvam Yat Kinchat Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bunjita Ma Griha Kasya Swiddhanam. So he says, in this, the meaning is, all things of this world are transitory, are enveloped by the Lord, who is real, reality of each, who is indeed the real reality of each. And he says, therefore, they have to be used with reverent renunciation, without covetousness or greed, for they belong to the Lord and not to any one person. So I think this is the meaning of the first sloka in the Ishavasya Upanishad. And that's how the Upanishad gets its name as Ishavasya Upanishad.
Right. So I think we'll start with this discourse.
Right.
This is definitely going to be another thrilling journey into this discourse of Swami. So dear listeners, this is the discourse that Swami delivered on 24th of May 1991. As we said, it's the fourth in the series. The title of the discourse in the Summer Showers book is Ishavasya Upanishad, Renunciation and Pleasure. So if you're following us with the text, that's the discourse you'll have to pick up. So we'll go now to the first clip of this discourse.
Satyam bunandunde sarvam busrishtinche satyam bunandunde sarvam busrishtinche satyam bunandanage sarva srishti Satyambunandunde sarvambu srishtinche Satyambunandadage sarva srishti Satyarupamuleni stalamedi kanugunna శుద్ధ సత్వమదియే చూడరయ్యా శుద్ధ సత్వమదియే చూడరయ్యా సత్యంబులేనట్టి స్థలమేదు కనుగొన్నా శుద్ధ సత్వమదియే చూడరయ్యా శుద్ధ సత్వమదియే శుద్ధ సత్వమదియే చూడరయ్య
వైల్ రిమైనింగ్ ఇన్ ట్రూత్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ క్రియేటెడ్ ది ఎంటైర్ క్రియేషన్ సబ్జ్యూస్ మర్జెస్ ఇన్ ట్రూత్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో ప్లేస్ వేర్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో ట్రూత్ యాక్చువల్లీ స్పీకింగ్ ఇఫ్ యూ ఫైండ్ అండ్ సీ ఇట్ ఇస్ ప్యూర్ అన్సలీడ్ ట్రూత్ అలోన్
ఏకం సత్విప్రా బహుధా వదంతి సత్యం ఒక్కటే అయినప్పటికీ ఋషులు దానికి అనేక నామములు చెప్తూ వచ్చారు
దో ది ట్రూత్ ఈజ్ వన్ సెయింట్స్ హ్యావ్ బీన్ రిఫరింగ్ ఇట్ టు ఇట్ ఇన్ సెవరల్ వేస్
సత్యము ఏ ఒక్కరి సొత్తు కాదు
Truth is not the entire property of anyone.
ఏ ఒక్క దేశమునకును సంబంధించినటువంటిది కాదు.
Is not related to a particular country.
ఏ ఒక్క మతమునకును సంబంధించినటువంటిది కాదు.
Is not restricted to any single religion.
ఏ ఒక్క కాలమునకును సంబంధించినటువంటిది కాదు.
Is not bound by any specific time.
దేశ కాల పాత్ర మతం అతీతమైనటువంటి ఒక సత్యము.
ఇట్ ఈస్ సంథింగ్ బియాండ్ ద టైమ్, ద స్పేస్ అండ్ ద రోడ్.
అన్ని దేశముల వారు, అన్ని మతముల వారు, అన్ని కాలముల వారు కూడాను ఈ సత్యాన్ని అనుసరించటంలో సర్వాధికారం ఉంటున్నది.
పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ కంట్రీస్ బిలాంగింగ్ టు వేరియస్ కాస్ట్ రిలీజియన్స్ ఆఫ్ వేరియస్ టైమ్స్ హ్యావ్ గాట్ అథారిటీ టు నో దిస్ ట్రూత్.
సత్యము ఎవరిని అనుసరించదు, ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను సత్యమునే అనుసరించాలి.
ట్రూత్ డస్ నాట్ ఫాలో ఎనీ వన్, ఎవ్రీ వన్ విల్ హ్యావ్ టు ఫాలో ట్రూత్.
మానవ పితామహుడైనటువంటి మనువు ఈ సత్యముని జగత్తునకు ప్రబోధిస్తూ వచ్చాడు.
మనువు ద ఎర్లియెస్ట్ వన్ ప్రాపగేటెడ్ ట్రూత్.
మనువు నుండి ఆవిర్భవించినటువంటి వాడు కనుక మానవుడు, ఇతనికి మనుజ అని పేరు వచ్చింది.
యాజ్ మ్యాన్ హెస్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ మనువు ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ మనుజ.
మానవుడు సత్యవాత్ పరిపాలనకై సర్వమును త్యాగం చేయాలని కూడాను మనువు యొక్క శాసనం.
ఇస్ ద కమాండ్ ఆఫ్ మనువు దట్ మ్యాన్ షుడ్ బి ప్రిపేర్డ్ టు సాక్రిఫైస్ హిస్ లైఫ్ టు అప్హోల్డ్ ట్రూత్.
కానీ దేశకాల పరిస్థితుల ప్రభావాన్ని పురస్కరించుకుని ఈనాడు దీనికి విరుద్ధమైన మార్గమును అనుసరిస్తూ ఉన్నది.
బట్ సంథింగ్ ఆపోజిట్ కాంట్రరీ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ బేసింగ్ ఆన్ ది ప్రజెంట్ టైమ్ అండ్ ద సిచ్యువేషన్.
సత్యం జన విరోధాయ అసత్యం జనరంజనం సురా విక్రేయతే స్థానే దద్యాదికం పీత్వా గృహీ గృహీ. సత్యం జన విరోధాయ అసత్యం జనరంజనం.
ఈనాటి మానవులకు అసత్యమే అతి రుచిగా తోస్తుంది.
ఫర్ ద మ్యాన్ టుడే ద ఫాల్స్హుడ్ ఇస్ ప్యాలెటబుల్.
సత్యము విరోధముగా భావిస్తుంటారు.
హీ టేక్స్ ట్రూత్ యాజ్ అన్ ఎనిమీ.
ఈనాటి మానవుడు అన్నింటినీ తెలుసుకున్నందుకు ప్రయత్నిస్తున్నాడు, కానీ సత్యాన్ని తెలుసుకున్నందుకు ప్రయత్నించటం లేదు.
మ్యాన్ ఈస్ మేకింగ్ ఎన్ ఎఫర్ట్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ బట్ హీ డజంట్ ట్రై టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ద ట్రూత్.
సత్యము నుండి సర్వభోగములు సర్వభాగ్యములు లభిస్తూ ఉన్నవి.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆఫ్ ద ట్రూత్ ఓన్లీ వన్ గెట్స్ ఆల్ ద ప్లెజర్స్.
ప్రాచీన కాలమునందు సత్యం వలనే ప్రభువులు పాలన చేయగలుగుతూ వచ్చారు.
ఇట్స్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూత్ ఓన్లీ ది ఏన్షియంట్ కింగ్స్ రూల్ ద కింగ్డమ్.
సత్యమే శీలము, సత్యమే మతము, సత్యమే ప్రాణము, సత్యమే తపస్సు, సత్యమే దైవము.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ది ట్రూత్ విచ్ ఇస్ ద క్యారెక్టర్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ది ట్రూత్ విచ్ ఇస్ రిలిజియన్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ది ట్రూత్ విచ్ ఇస్ లైఫ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ట్రూత్ అలోన్.
ఇట్టి నిత్య సత్యమును విస్మరించి ప్రాకృతమైన అనిత్యమైన అసత్యాన్ని విశ్వసించి మానవత్వాన్ని కోల్పోవటంలో మానవుని యొక్క బలహీనత ప్రకటితమవుతున్నది.
ద మ్యాన్స్ వీక్నెస్ ఇస్ క్లియర్లీ ఎవిడెంట్ బికాస్ హీ హాస్ గాట్ ఫుల్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ దిస్ ఎఫెమరల్ ట్రాన్సెండ్ ఫిజికల్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ హీ డజంట్ ఫాలో ద ట్రూత్ విచ్ ఇస్ పర్మనెంట్ అండ్ ఇటర్నల్.
మనువు మరొక విషయాన్ని కూడాను జగత్తునకు ప్రకటితం చేస్తూ వచ్చాడు.
మనువు ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ ద సెకండ్ ఆస్పెక్ట్ ఆల్సో టు దిస్ వరల్డ్.
సత్యం బ్రూయాత్ ప్రియం బ్రూయాత్ ప్రప్రూజాత్ సత్యం అప్రియం. అనగా ప్రియము కదా అని అసత్యం ఆడకూడదు.
బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ యాక్సెప్టబుల్ టు యూ డోంట్ అటర్ ఫాల్స్హుడ్.
అప్రియము కదా అని కేవలము సత్యమును కఠినంగా చెప్పకూడదు.
డోంట్ అటర్ ట్రూత్ ఇన్ ఆల్ సీరియస్నెస్ బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్పాలటబుల్.
ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను సత్యమునే పలకాలి.
ఎవ్రీ మ్యాన్ విల్ హ్యావ్ టు స్పీక్
ప్రీతికరమైనటువంటి సత్యాన్ని పలకాలి.
హీ షుడ్ స్పీక్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ఏ అక్సెప్టబుల్ వే.
దీనిని భగవద్గీత యందు అనుద్వేగకరం వాక్యం సత్యం ప్రీతి హితం చేయద్దు. అనుద్వేగకరం వాక్యం సత్యం ప్రీతి హితం చేయద్దు. ప్రీతి హితముగాను అనుద్వేగముగాను ప్రీతిగాను ఉండాలి.
ద ట్రూత్ షుడ్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఎమోషన్, ఇట్ షుడ్ బి యాక్సెప్టబుల్ అండ్ షుడ్ బి అటర్డ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ స్వీట్నెస్.
Right, so that was the first clip in that discourse, and Swami starts speaking.
Truthfully, it's a treatise on truth.
Right, starts with that beautiful padyam on truth, which you heard many times from Swami. Was it in this series that Swami defined truth as being in sync with the conscience? In one particular discourse, I think in the first discourse, Swami says that.
Mm.
Swami says, when what is truth in word?
Okay.
When whatever you say is absolutely in sync with your conscience,
okay,
then you're speaking truth.
Then you're speaking the
truth. It is not facts.
Mm.
Swami says facts is a different thing. Facts is, Swami would say that, no, it changes with time and place. Like saying that I'm wearing a white shirt, it changes 2 hours from now.
Mm.
But truth is, Swami says in the true sense, it is that which, words that reflect your conscience.
Beautiful.
And that's one thing which is going on coming as Swami was describing this. Of course, before that, Swami speaks about Manu and how Manu had also mentioned this in his work.
Right. I mean, Swami has himself said, Satya Sai Baba, I am the embodiment of truth. And he has said that every word that comes out from my mouth is truth. And oftentimes we don't understand the total import of what Swami is saying at a given point in time. But someday or the other in life, you know, we'll understand, oh, Swami told this long time back. And I think that's a common experience. People always go back to what Swami said. And, you know, the kind of importance that Swami is giving to truth, it is like having prepared us for what he is going to teach. He says, first know what the truth is. So once you understand the truth and you know what the truth is, then let us see how you're endeavoring to grasp it or, you know, realize that.
Of course, Swami makes this statement which is almost central to the theme of Indian culture. Swami says, Ekam Sat Vipra Bahudha Vadanti.
Mm.
Swami would say that many times. In fact, many even Western scholars, when they speak about the glory of Indian tradition and Sanatan Dharma, they always quote this sentence,
right,
saying that Ekam Sat Vipra Bahudha Vadanti. It automatically gives you so much freedom to experiment with your journey.
Correct.
No, nothing is shut to you as long as you have your earnestness in place.
Right.
And Swami says, as long as you're honest, that's a very important thing. In another discourse, Swami says, one of the most important qualities for a sadhaka is to be honest with himself.
Very true.
You know, to be truly look at yourself and say that I'm doing this right, I'm not doing this right, I'm having happiness, I'm not having happiness. You know, that kind of honesty, automatically you can take any route to reach that truth.
In fact, I think Swami has mentioned to one of his devotees that in this pursuit for truth, you're a sadhaka, you're searching for truth, you're inquiring. He says, and for attaining liberation, moksha, whatever we call. And he says, there is only one thing you have to do. Do not follow anybody. Because each one's path is different. And as you rightly said, you know, that honesty and that honesty with yourself, you know, how far I've gone. And that will lead you on this path of inquiry of truth.
Right.
You know, just as aside, you know, because when we're talking about truth and when you're talking about spiritual earnestness, it's a common experience with most of us and most of Swami's devotees and most of people around the world. You know, you may ask for many things and many things may come to you or may not come to you. But it's been my experience and it's been many people's experience that if you pray to the Lord for some guidance on a spiritual matter, you're going to get it sooner than you know.
Mm.
You know, it comes to you when you seek. Like, for example, there is something, I want something spiritual. I just pray to the Lord, Lord, give me this. And it will find its way to you, either through a book or through somebody coming and telling you something. So, you know, when you have that earnest, thirst for truth, when you have that earnest thirst for truth, God gives you ample. You
know? Right. In fact, I think even when we were students, I've heard Swami say that, and many of our teachers also would say that, especially when you start something, when you start on a sadhana, or you say that I want to start reading this, I want to start practicing this, you will see that that immediate response from Swami will be that encouragement which comes in, which...
As you say that, I'm reminded of one beautiful story, experience which I had.
Mm-hmm.
When we were in the primary school, one of our teachers would read out from a book. It was, I think, The Saint of India, or it's about Shirdi Baba.
Right.
The life history of Shirdi Baba.
Right,
it's
right.
written more in a story form, step, right. like a mm-hmm. novel. And there was this chapter on Megha's and Megha's devotion, how he came and did Abhishekam on Lord Shirdi Baba's. Mm-hmm. And, the whole beautiful description was very enthralling, and I liked it a lot. When our teacher used to read it aloud, I always thought in my mind, someday I'm going to get this book and read it from end to end.
Mm-hmm.
Because she would read it in parts. So then I thought, someday I should get hold of this book. And years passed. That was in my class, in 7th standard, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th standard.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly this interest came back again.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, by the time I reached the 11th standard, I was wondering, what is the name of that book?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Saint Lives in India, or Saints of India, A Saint of India?
Mm-hmm.
Even the title of the book was not clear in my mind, but I just prayed. I said, Swami, somehow I want to read that book.
Mm-hmm.
You won't believe it. I come back in the evening, the book is right there in my cupboard, in my shelf,
mm-hmm.
in my cupboard, and the cupboard was closed.
Mm.
I opened my cupboard, I was frozen for a few minutes.
Wow.
I took that book, I went around asking,
mm-hmm.
whose book is this? How did it land up here? Please tell me, whose book, whose book?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had an answer. Nobody had an answer. And I was in tears. I started reading the book,
mm-hmm.
and those days there was this liberty, as you would say, we could send a letter to Swami,
mm-hmm.
and say acknowledgement due. Okay.
Right.
In the earlier years, Swami would himself put a signature with Love Baba. And then I think because too many students were doing it, there came a stamp. Which would say with Love Baba.
Okay.
And that was acknowledgement from Swami that he received your letter. That he received the letter. The beautiful part is, as I completed this book, I was so lost and engrossed in this book, and I had sent a letter such with acknowledgement to you. I was seated on the D floor of the hostel in one corner and just reading this book, because I just wanted to read it in silence, and I was coming towards the end of the book. I was so engrossed and I was so, enjoying the book. Suddenly one boy comes up to me and says, here is an acknowledgement from Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So, the day I completed the book, I get the acknowledgement from Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is an experience which many people have. When you are earnest, you just want to know the truth. You take that one step, I'll take 100 steps. So true it is.
Very true. In fact, I remember one scene. It was so poignant when we were students. We were all fledglings in that sense of the spiritual path. We really were clueless. What I always recollect of those days is, more than being spiritual, more than becoming something in the field of spirituality, you knew that you had to do something to please Swami.
Right.
Like becoming spiritual pleases Swami, so, so be it.
Exactly.
That's how it was.
Mm.
And so a lot of these boys would get into meditation and they would try japam and all sorts of things. I remember one of my classmates, a simple boy from one of the cities, not much knowledge about Swami's works and all that before, he became a student. So he used to sincerely try to do meditation. So once we had come from Vrindavan,
mm-hmm.
and we were sitting in the third block, which is straight to the bhajan hall door.
Right.
So when Swami comes out of the interview room, Swami walks straight and comes to that place where we are sitting.
Yeah.
So Swami went into the interview room with some devotees, and this boy went into his meditation.
Okay.
So he started doing meditation and he was lost in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all remember that scene, Swami, the moment Swami would step out, there would be either snapping of fingers like that or, some kind of signal that Swami has come. So all of us would put away our books and then turn towards Swami.
Mm.
So this boy was lost in meditation. So people are snapping and people are doing all that. and he was not opening his eyes.
Mm.
So he was lost.
Mm.
And we saw Swami started coming towards that block.
Okay.
Okay, so now the snapping will not work, so they started nudging him.
Okay.
So from there Swami saw that here is this boy trying to do meditation in Pillowsar, trying to wake him up.
Mm.
And Swami from there said, hey,
don't disturb him.
Swami gestured, don't do that.
Mm.
And Swami came right in front, and a little distance from that boy, you know, Swami stood there. Swami stood for a few minutes. I don't know what transpired between that boy and Swami then. Swami stood there for a few seconds in front of that boy, looked at him, and Swami said, don't disturb him. And then Swami continued. In his own. I mean, very small things, but you know that every step that you take, you know, with sincerity, Swami was really there to encourage. Not was there, is there. You know, if you try it out, you definitely will know that.
In fact, by the way, just to complete that story, I am just remembering that after I completed the book, suddenly a boy came running and maybe a day or two afterwards, saying that Mr. Ram Mohan Rao is asking, he's lost a book. Life of, he's asking for that book. Where is that book? Has anybody seen that book? I said, here it is. Please take it. So I had to give the book back.
Mm.
But you know, it came. And in fact, as you were mentioning that other incident, one of my classmates, in way back in the primary school, he was engrossed reading a book, and Swami came out and he didn't realize. And Swami came and stood right in front of him, and he didn't realize. Then people were, then suddenly he saw the Swami's robe, and then he looked up, and Swami is saying, good boy, good concentration.
Good concentration.
And then I think Swami asked him, what do you want to become? And he said, doctor. I'm not sure, but I think Swami, and he's a doctor now in the US. So he's a doctor, but Swami, you know, that encouragement in every field.
Right.
That's it.
Right, absolutely. And I think that's the beauty of taking to the spiritual path, you know, having devotion to Swami.
Correct.
Right. Now you could be a follower of truth, or as Swami is saying, a sadhaka in any way, but to have Swami by your side. And, you know, you were trying to, as you, I think in the last season you had mentioned, you know, it was a very weird thing that here is the Swami in front of you.
Right.
You know that Swami is within you. You know that the Swami is your goal.
Yes.
You know that what all that you're doing is to one day reach him.
Right.
And you know that he's the one who's beside you, who's holding your hand and being your companion.
Very true.
It's a completely different thing altogether.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing, because here is the path, here is the goal, here is the source, here is
and,
the...
And we all knew it. It's we all felt it that way. That
exactly.
Here is that all in all. Going back to the discourse. Yeah, and Swami goes on to this beautiful part where he says, you know, people are scared of truth.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, you know, people perceive truth as their enemy and derive enjoyment from falsehood.
Correct.
This is actually very true in many ways. You know, I think even this afternoon we are having a discussion that we were saying that a lot of people are scared to confront this. You know, oh, I will lose everything. You know, there is one spiritual master used to say that, I will give you realization right now.
Mm.
You know, I'll give you absolute bliss right now.
Okay.
But will you tear away your degree certificate? You know, you have to tear away and throw away your degree certificate, all your medals and all your things. Are you ready?
Mm.
So he says, nobody is ready. Because, you know, you don't want to give that security which you have in your hand for a guaranteed thing which is such larger than the small joy that you have. And that's what I remember that when Swami is saying this, people are scared of truth and, you know, they see truth as their enemy and they would rather take recourse in falsehood.
No, again, I mentioned this several times, but it just comes to my mind again and again so powerfully. Yeah, what Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj said, he said, Master, if, you know, we really go behind the self and realization and we try to understand who we really are, what will happen to our jobs, our family, our this thing and all that? He says, when the whole house is on fire, why are you bothered about one matchstick? So, you know, you are in it completely. When you are in it completely, and Swami would say so many times, it's so easy to speak the truth. And it's so difficult to utter a lie. So because if you utter a lie, then you'll have to have a lot of backup plans.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have to have a whole chain of lies to support your one lie.
Right.
And he says, if you utter the truth, it's so simple.
And Yeah, as Swami was speaking about truth, and as I said, that particular definition that Swami had given, mm-hmm. that to align your actions and your words to that conscience, to that inner voice, is actually living by truth.
Right.
You know, the ultimate truth is a completely different experience when we get there. But in day-to-day life, Swami would say that a truthful life is that, when you're constantly keeping yourself aligned to that inner voice.
Mm.
Just yesterday, I think I was watching an interview
mm-hmm.
of VVS Lakshman.
Okay.
You know, we had the opportunity to interview him. This was, of course, an interview on a TV channel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just thrills you that here is really somebody who is, you know, follows Swami's message wherever he is.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he did speak fondly about Swami even in that interview.
Okay.
He said how he has a very good rapport with Sachin Tendulkar because mm-hmm. they get to talk so much about Swami in the dressing room.
Wonderful.
He said that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was this incident in his career they were asking him about, because he is mm-hmm. somebody who very abruptly announced his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
He did not even tell the captain that he's retiring.
Okay.
Almost in the middle of a series,
mm-hmm.
he retires and suddenly calls for a press conference and retires.
Mm-hmm.
So the interviewer asks him, you know, what was behind it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you regret it?
Mm.
Do you feel you would have done it a different way? And he says, I couldn't have done it any other way.
Mm.
He said, because the battle had started between the inner voice and the mind.
Oh.
He says, from inside, it was very clearly telling me that you're not doing the right thing.
Mm.
So, and he explained it, okay, so beautifully. He said, see, as a youngster when I started playing cricket, I said, I want to become a cricketer for India.
Mm.
Okay. So he said, I have come to a place where me still continuing to be a cricketer is in a way hurting the Indian team.
Okay.
Okay. And this inner voice was not letting me sleep. He's saying he's going constantly telling that you're not doing what you wanted to do. You're not doing what you wanted
not
to do.
Not able to do.
Mm. Okay. So he said at one point it had to be just then. You know, there was no thinking about it. There was no discussing with family. He did not even speak to his family and coach and all of them.
Okay.
He said, I just had to do it then because once it becomes a battle between the inner voice and the mind, you know, there's nothing. I mean, to say it out so honestly.
Right.
And he was saying that, you know, he was of course giving the logical idea behind it. He said that if I retire now, the person who takes my place
mm-hmm.
will have the opportunity to play a home test before he goes for an away series.
Oh, okay.
And he says, if I wait till the end of the series, whoever is coming in is going to come directly to a away series, which is not good for him.
Mm.
It was so beautiful. And when Swami says this, you know, that you should have the courage to follow truth.
Correct.
And I think that's what it is. All of us face it in everyday life, you know, to that opportunity to stand by truth when you need to muster all your courage to do that.
In fact, elsewhere, I think Swami has defined satya. Sa is divinity. Of course, satya is a path to attain divinity. Ta is tyaga. Tapas. Ta is tapas. And then ya is yama, sense control. So he says, just in the word satya, ya is yama, ta is tapas. And he says, tapas is what? Harmony of thought, word and deed. And ya, yama is, that is sense control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we are just redefining satya this way, again, we go back to simple things that we tried out to please Swami. You know, Swami is true. What tapas did we do? And what yama did we do? Swami says, don't talk too much.
Mm.
So then we all thought, okay, let us keep maunam. Let us keep silence. That will please the Lord. And it did please the Lord. We decided to keep silence. And then there, bang on Swami's telling, you know, my 10th standard students, they have decided to keep silent. Nobody needs to tell him. It makes him so happy that you have taken a step. The moment you keep silence, it reaches him. The moment you do one little effort, immediately he's there to reward you. And that holds good for every day.
And I think at some point you look back at those days and you know that, I think more than anything else, is one statement which we often hear in speeches.
You know, mm-hmm.
Life with Swami is endless hope.
Right.
I think that's something which is so important. Even now, when you look back, when you're narrating such small incidents, you know, it is possible to please God. I think that itself is such an important thing which we all need to remember.
No, in fact, what is coming very strongly to me is that, you know, those days we thought making a beautiful card and showing to Swami is what will please him. or you know, singing a bhajan is what will please him, preparing for a speech or doing your part in sports meet. We thought we should do something to attract Swami's attention so that will please him. But now we come to understand that every action we should do to please him. He says, I don't need it. He does not need my singing. He does not need my art. He does not need anything. He needs only me. So he says, even if I cook with that dedication and if I offer it to the Lord, that's what it is. So he says, from trying to do few actions, we think, at that point in time, even studying, I would study, you know, like many of the students, you study because in case, you know, we get a gold medal, Swami will be so happy.
Mm-hmm.
No? We would aim for that to make Swami happy. That was the way we grew up. So when we start doing everything to please the Lord, automatically success will be yours.
I remember one of my seniors telling me that.
Mm-hmm.
No, when initially we joined, he said, when you pray before an exam,
mm-hmm.
we all go to that, you know, Ganesha becomes Mr. Popular during exam times.
Right.
We all know that. Mm. We all tend to pray for ourselves, you know, we have learned, and Swami would say that you pray to Ganesha, you will remember, your memory power will be good. So we all end up praying that, you know, let me remember whatever I studied during the exam, let me not get too panicky. But this senior told us, you know, when, if you want to please Swami even at that time, he said, when you go to Ganesha, you pray that Ganesha enable all of us to get that much marks that will please Swami.
Beautiful.
He said, you know, don't ask that I want this much marks or we want this much marks. He says, give us as much marks as it is required to please Swami. And all of us, not just me.
Beautiful.
That's precisely...
The whole fact of saying samasta loka sukino bhavantu, the truth that we get from that, he says, this ekam sat vipra bhavda vadanti, that is the same thing. When you pray for everybody's happiness, you are seeing the happiness of yourself. Means your happiness lies in everybody's happiness.
Right. And of course, the last part of this clip, Swami speaks about this famous Subhashita, where it said, Satyam Bruyat Priyam Bruyat, Satyam Apriyam,
Na Bruyat Satyam Apriyam.
Na Bruyat Satyam Apriyam. Speak the truth, speak pleasingly, and don't speak the untruth which is pleasing, and don't speak the truth which is
not pleasing.
Unpleasant. So when we used to study this in school, you say the only option is don't speak at all. Don't speak the truth, you know, don't speak unpleasant words, and don't speak the combination in this way and that way. But again, you know, when this one quote suggests that truth is much beyond just spoken facts.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of intention comes into play.
Right.
And then lot of, what is behind the words? You know, what is behind the, what is the emotion behind the words? I think that comes to the forefront. In fact, one of his discourses, Swami says, the Satyam Bruyat, Priyam Bruyat, Nab Bruyat, Satyam Apriyam.
Mm-hmm.
These are three stages. He says, Adi Bhautika, Adi Devika, Adhyatmika.
Oh.
Nab Bruyat, Satyam Apriyam is Adhyatmika.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this may be the truth, but how you speak it or how you express it, or don't speak it, na bruyat, don't speak satyam apriyam.
I think Swami would say that, right? Socrates stops a rumor monger and says, ask yourself these three questions.
Okay.
You know, there's a person who comes up to Socrates and says, I want to tell you something about one of your disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Socrates stops him there and he says, before you tell me what it is, answer these three questions.
Okay.
He says, is it pleasant or unpleasant?
So
he says, it's unpleasant.
Mm.
Okay. Because of hearing this, will you benefit anything or will I benefit anything? So he says, no. Having said it or having not said it, it's not going to make much of a difference. Then he says, are you really sure that it is true? So he says, no, I've just heard it from somebody else.
Okay.
So he says, then why say it at all? It's not pleasant. And it may be the truth, it may not be the truth. And it's not going to benefit anybody.
Correct.
So even if it is the truth, 50% chance that it is the truth. So the other two answers, questions it doesn't answer. So why not just not say it at all? So as you said, you know, the intention part, is usually discounted when you speak about truth.
Right.
And this particular, and for Swami quotes also a verse from the Gita.
Yes.
Where Swami says that the same theme is expressed in the Gita too.
Right.
So, I think we'll go to the next clip, the second clip. We can end with a second clip.
Right.
కన్నులు లేని వ్యక్తిని మనం చూసినప్పుడు
when we see a blind man,
నిజముగా అతనికి కన్నులు లేవు, ఇది సత్యమే.
Actually speaking, he has no eyes. That is.
కానీ సత్యము కదా అని ఓ గుడ్డివాడా అని పిలిచినప్పుడు అతనికి అప్రీతి తోస్తుంది.
Because he is blind, you cannot address him, oh blind man. It will be quite unacceptable to him.
ఆ పదము వినగానే అతనికి మనసుకు బాధ కలుగుతుంది.
The moment he listens to that word, he is hurt mentally.
పలికినది సత్యమే కాని వ్యక్తికి అప్రీతి కలిగించింది.
The truth is said, but it has not pleased the individual.
ఒక కుంటివాడిని చూసినప్పుడు
when you see a lame man,
కాళ్ళు లేవని సత్యమే మనకు తెలిసింది.
We know the fact that he has no legs.
కాని అతన్ని ఓ కుంటివాడ అని పిలిచినప్పుడు అతని మనసు బాధ కలుగుతుంది.
But he is hurt mentally when you call him your lame man.
కనుక సత్యమైనప్పటికీ అతనికి బాధ కలుగునటువంటి మార్గమును పురస్కరించుకొని వేరొక మార్గములో అతన్ని పిలిచటము చాలా ఉత్తమం.
ఇట్ మే బి ట్రూత్, బట్ ఇట్స్ ఎ నోబుల్ వే టు ప్రజెంట్ ద ట్రూత్ ఇన్ అన్ యాక్సెప్టబుల్ వే.
సత్యము సత్యమని ఇతరులకు బాధ కలిగించేటువంటి సత్యమును కూడాను మనం ప్రవేశపెట్టుకోరాదు.
కాలింగ్ ఇట్ ట్రూత్, యూ షుడ్ నెవర్ హర్ట్ ఎనీబడి ఇన్ ఎనీ వే.
కనుక మానవుని యొక్క నడతలను సక్రమమైనట్టుగా లేనప్పుడు మానవుని యొక్క వ్యక్తిత్వాన్ని కోల్పోతాడు.
When man's behavior is not proper, he loses his very personality.
కనుక మానవత్వం యొక్క వ్యక్తిత్వాన్ని మనము అభివృద్ధి గావించుకోవాలన్నా సత్య మార్గము ప్రీతి మార్గమును మనము అనుసరించాలి.
To uphold his personality and individuality, he should follow the principle of truth in an acceptable
way. సమస్త వేదములకు ఉపనిషత్తు శిరస్సు వంటిది.
The Upanishads is a form of head to all the Vedas.
ఈ ఉపనిషత్తులకు ఈశావాస్యం అనేటువంటి ఉపనిషత్తు శిరస్థాయికి కూడినటువంటిది.
Among these Upanishads, ఈశావాస్య ఉపనిషత్ is the head.
ఈశావాస్య ఉపనిషత్తు కేవలము ఒక యజుర్వేదమునందు శుక్లవేదమునందు కొంత మంత్ర రూపమై ఉంటున్నది.
ఈశావాస్య ఉపనిషత్ is contained in the form of mantra in Yajurveda and Shukla Veda.
Idi karma margamunu puraskarinchukoni 39va adhyayam varaku kodanu prabodhistu vachindi.
In the field of action karma marga until 39th canto it explained everything.
40va adhyayamulo praveshinchetappatiki gnanamunu prarambhistundi.
Right from 40th chapter, it enters into the field of wisdom.
అక్కడి నుండియే ఈశావాస్యోపనిషత్తు ప్రారంభమవుతుంది.
From that chapter, ఈశావాస్యోపనిషత్ commences.
కర్మమునకు ప్రతిపాదించేటువంటిది జ్ఞానం.
The action is propounded by wisdom.
జ్ఞానమునకు ఆధారము కర్మ.
The base for wisdom is action.
కర్మ జ్ఞానమును సమన్వయము కావించేటువంటిదే ఉపనిషత్తు.
The coordination between action and wisdom is done by Upanishad.
Kanuka manavudu cheyavalsinatvanti karmalu tappaka chesiye teerali.
So man should undertake all actions expected of him.
Manchi manchi karmalu manchi manasuto aacharinchali.
He should undertake good actions with good mind.
Ee karma yokka phalatamu nene anubhavinchali అనేటువంటి అభిమానములకు అవకాశం ఇవ్వకూడదు.
He should not have a kind of attachment to enjoy the fruits of his good actions.
నేను చేయటం వల్లనే ఈ కర్మ యొక్క ఫలితమును పొందగలిగినాను అనేటువంటి అహంకారములకు అవకాశం ఇవ్వకూడదు.
He should never give scope to the feeling that I should enjoy the fruits of these good actions.
ఈ అహంకార అభిమానములు మానవునికి కర్మబంధితుని కావిస్తుంది.
It's only ego and attachment which will bind him.
ఈశావాసికోపనిషత్తునందు మానవుడు ఏ భోగమును అనుభవించినట్టు అనుభవించవలసి వచ్చినను త్యాగం చేత భోగం అనుభవించమని ప్రబోధిస్తూ వచ్చింది.
ఈశావాస్యోపనిషత్ డిక్లేర్డ్ Man may enjoy all the pleasures and affluence, but he should enjoy them with the spirit of sacrifice.
కేవలము నిత్య జీవితములో మానవునకు భోగములకును త్యాగములకును పొత్తు కుదరదు.
In daily life, there is no relationship, actually speaking, between affluence and sacrifice.
త్యాగి కేవలము భోగము జోలికి పోడు.
The man of sacrifice will never be after property.
భోగి త్యాగమును చింతించడు.
The man of affluence will never think of sacrifice.
ఇలాంటి పరిస్థితి యందు త్యాగముతో కూడినటువంటి భోగమును అనుభవించటము ఇది ఏ విధంగా సాధ్యమవుతుంది?
Under these circumstances, how is it possible to enjoy all the property with this principle of sacrifice?
దీనినే ఈశావాసికోపనిషత్తు ఆచరణలోని అహంకారమును అనుభూతిలోని ఆసక్తిని రెండూ విసర్జించినప్పుడు త్యాగమునకు భోగమునకు ఎట్టి భేదము ఉండదు.
ఈశావాస్యోపనిషత్ డిక్లేర్డ్ when you do not have any kind of this ego or when you don't have any kind of desire, there will be no difference between this pleasure and sacrifice.
కనుక అహంకార ఆసక్తులతో కూడినటువంటి యొక్క కర్మలు ఏమి చేసినప్పటికీ ఇవి భోగముతో కూడిన త్యాగములే, త్యాగముతో కూడిన భోగములే.
So long we undertake actions coupled with this ego and the desire, it amounts to sacrifice coupled with affluence.
ఈ అహంకార అభిమానములు యందు స్వార్థము స్వప్రయోజనము శూన్యం.
In these things, this attachment and also self-interest are totally missing.
స్వార్థ స్వప్రయోజనములు లేనటువంటి సర్వ కర్మలు కూడాను త్యాగముతో కూడినటువంటి భోగములే.
Actually speaking, the selfishness and self-interest are contained in this affluence coupled with sacrifice.
కనుక ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను విధిగా కర్మలు ఆచరించి
ఎవరి మ్యాన్ షుడ్ అండర్ టేక్
ఇది నా ఆచరణ యొక్క ఫలితము అనేటువంటి అహంకారములకు అవకాశం ఇవ్వకూడదు.
హీ షుడ్ నెవర్ గివ్ స్కోప్ టు ద అండర్స్టాండింగ్ దట్ ఈస్ ది రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫ్రూట్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ యాక్షన్.
నేను చేసిన కర్మల యొక్క ఫలితము కనుక అని దీనిని తానే అనుభవించాలనే అభిమానము కూడా అవకాశం అందించరాదు.
హీ షుడ్ నాట్ గివ్ ఎ స్కోప్ టు ద ఫీలింగ్ దట్ ఐ అలోన్ షుడ్ ఎంజాయ్ ద ఫ్రూట్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ యాక్షన్స్ బీయింగ్ ద డూయర్ మై సెల్ఫ్.
ఇది ఏ ఆత్మతత్వమును ప్రబోధించినటువంటి ఈశావాస్యం.
This is explained in Ishavasya Upanishad that reveals atmic nature.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి అహంకారమునకు అభిమానమునకు త్యాగము గావించి అనుభవించినటువంటి భోగమే నిజమైన యోగమని కూడాను నిరూపిస్తూ వచ్చింది.
ద రియల్ యోగా కంప్రైజెస్ ఇన్ సాక్రిఫైసింగ్ దిస్ ఈగో అండ్ అటాచ్మెంట్ అండ్ దట్ ఇస్ యోగం అనగా ఏమిటి?
So I think Swami has entered the subject area proper.
Yes.
Where Swami is speaking so beautifully about renunciation and bhoga or pleasure seeking, how it is appears so contrary, but there is a beautiful way of pursuing both, and that is the right way.
Exactly. And you know, it's like the essence of karma yoga. It's actually the whole secret of karma. You know, if I understand what Swami is saying, if I understand it right, do your actions, you are entitled to do your actions. Of course, that's what Karma Neva Adhikaraste says. But never with the intention of enjoying the fruits of your actions. I mean, practically, how is it possible? Suppose I am going to do an action. I am doing it because I want the end result of that action. So, this is the whole trick in this karma yoga. Like, yes, you have to act. Suppose, you know, I'm doing a painting because I want something nice to come out. I'm supposed to do the painting with the not expecting the result and not knowing, it means not expecting that the painting should be good. So this gap, I think Swami has answered elsewhere also. He says, so how do you do it? You have to do it with intention, with interest. You have to do it with your dedication. You have to do it in trying to excel and trying to reach perfection. So the best way to not expect results is offer it to the Lord.
Right.
I think that's what Swami...
Absolutely. I think in one of the discourses we were going through sometime back in the other program, we came across this beautiful discourse
mm-hmm.
where in one paragraph Swami puts this whole thing, you know, where he says, the moment you bring this idea of worship,
mm-hmm.
work is worship,
mm-hmm.
you do everything that you do as an offering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens is Swami saying that you separate these two. The action and the result is separated.
Right.
So the action becomes an offering.
Mm-hmm.
The result becomes the prasadam from the Lord.
Okay.
So you disconnect the two.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, there is no, let's say I'm making an offering. Let's say I'm preparing a naivedyam for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That'll be perfect in its way.
Mm-hmm.
And what comes is always perfect. You know, the moment you accept whatever comes to your life, as Swami would say, that whatever happens is good for you and that is God's prasadam,
mm-hmm.
you will be ready to accept everything, and you've achieved this, you know, this most difficult, what appears to be the most difficult task of separating, doing your action with complete involvement and receiving what comes with complete detachment.
You know, in that sense, how fortunate we are that, you know, we know Bhagwan, we have spoken to him, we are, you know, he has given us the opportunity to be contemporaries and live with him, because we have an image of whom we are offering all our actions to.
Right.
When Swami was here physically, he would say, I'm doing this to please Swami. And now we have to work with that spirit in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. As I think one of our teachers would say that there would be many occasions when, you know, it would very often happen. Let's
mm-hmm.
say there are some students, Swami wants to correct them.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be an indirect way. And many times it would happen that senior lecturer would get the, you know, the dose from Swami
mm-hmm.
to convey the message to one of the students there.
Right.
And many times it would happen, and this lecturer was telling us that initially he was a little uncomfortable with this.
Mm-hmm.
He would say that, Swami, I have not done anything wrong.
Mm.
So why are you coming and shouting at me for this? And sometimes, you know, you have that feeling that if anybody would understand me, you know, the world is full of people who will misunderstand you. If there's anybody who will understand you and your intentions, it is Swami.
Correct.
And if Swami is coming and pointing out a finger when you've not done a mistake, it's quite unsettling sometimes. So he would say that he was very uncomfortable when Swami would do that. And then he said that one thing which brought back a little bit of balance is when he recollected, and he said, how many times Swami would come and praise me for nothing?
Mm.
You know, for small acts, Swami would come and praise so much. Swami would say, oh. And every time Swami would come and speak lovingly to me, there was nothing that I did which warranted that kind of grace from him.
Right.
So when grace comes that way, your arms are open and you accept it as though you always deserved it.
Mm.
And why should you react like this when, you know, the contrary comes? And I think that's precisely, if you even look at one of the greatest qualms which people have with the karma theory. You know, why should I get something now as a result for something which I've done long, long back and I have no idea about?
Mm.
You know, I've done something in past birth or when I was a kid. Rather than, you know, let's say you want to discipline a child. When the child does the mistake, you give it a spanking and say what you did was wrong. So at least the child will remember it.
Mm.
It's simple logic. Why do you have to be given a punishment for something which, when you have forgotten what the initial mistake was? I think one of the reasons why it happens like that is for this, so that you stop connecting your actions with results.
Very true, very true. In fact, you know, that's what, if it were instant, then we don't know whether we would act.
Right.
Half the time we'd be
would become so selfish and self-centered.
We would think of the result in every small thing that we do.
Right.
It's absolute selfish approach to...
Right. I mean, we'll constantly be thinking, what's in it for me?
Yeah. And here beautifully he says, ego and attachment. Ego and attachment are what bind you to your actions.
Right. That's such a powerful and beautiful... This action happened because of me.
Mm.
That feeling, Swami says, attachment and ego bind you to actions when that feeling is there.
It has so many layers of meaning. Like suppose I am a surgeon and I am going to perform surgery. You know, on the operating table, what should I do? Should I concentrate on the surgery or think that I am not the doer, Swami is the doer? Of course I should concentrate on the surgery and I should do the surgery to the best of my ability and offer it to the Lord. You know, I think that is the attitude. And then, you know, so after you have done your best, You have given your best. In case the surgery is successful, that's good. In case it doesn't turn out, which also happens, then you are not affected by it.
Right. I think one practical way of looking at it is, I mean, at least I find it easier to look at it that way. In our daily life, I think always we are trying to fix blames. Mm-hmm. Something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Either you want to blame yourself or you want to blame others. Both are equally dangerous. You know, when you blame yourself, you get into your own shell of, you find it so difficult to forgive yourself and you don't get out of that depression for a long time. Or we are trying to blame somebody else.
Right.
You know, I didn't do this, somebody else did it. But when you do this kind of a thing, when you, as Swami would say, the example that you gave as a surgeon, at that time you're talking about responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You do an action, something goes wrong, you take responsibility for that.
Mm.
No, you're not blaming yourself, oh God, I've done this, oh, I'm such a sinner. It's not that sort of a thing.
Mm.
You say, okay, it's happened through me, so if somebody has to take responsibility for it, it's me.
Mm.
But I'm not going to, as Swami would say, get so attached to that result saying that it is my result, to that extent that you get bound to the action.
Mm.
It also makes you a person who is able to review your actions in a more detached manner,
exactly.
Which is more effective.
That is the Tyaga I'm speaking about.
that's the Tyaga. You very objectively look at yourself. I did this. This was the result.
Mm.
Maybe I have to do a little bit of modifications in the way I did it.
Mm.
Rather than saying that it's my result. Both ways, when it's good or bad, you get so obsessed with the result.
Mm.
Either you end up being on top of the world or you're in the abyss.
In fact, as we mentioned earlier, one theme which really comes through in every chapter of Bhagavad Gita almost is sukha dukkhe same kritva, and be equanimous.
Right.
Be equanimous to whatever happens. So if you are going to be equanimous to the results of your actions, so you're not affected by it. And that is the ideal way, because you take everything that happens to you as the will of God.
Right. Yeah, I think in another place Swami says this. It sounds very difficult,
mm-hmm.
but one way of getting into this kind of action is start doing little acts of selflessness.
Exactly.
Where the results are not seen, the results are not obvious.
And we are not keen also on
that. Such that you're not waiting for it. You perform the act, not like your other activities. You're waiting for the salary to come at the end of the month, or you've written an exam, you're waiting for a result.
Hmm.
Do acts in certain places where, there is no way it is going to come back to you, or there is no way you will see that coming to your life. The more you start doing that, Swami says that you will enjoy it so much that you will start doing even your regular activities like that.
There was this beautiful series of talks given by Swami Guru Priyananda, I think his name is.
Sarva Priyananda,
but there is another guru,
right.
Whom I was listening to, he was speaking in Tamil.
Okay.
I'm forgetting his name anyway. He brings about this comparison between karma and karma yoga.
Okay.
He says karma is action.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do karma. What's the difference between karma and karma yoga? So when you do it with the right intentions, it is incremental. It's incremental. So you can't say that, I have done 10 selfless acts and that 11th one I had selfishness. So all my first 10 are gone. They are of no use. No, it's not. It doesn't work like that. You still have those 10 acts of selfless acts that you have done to your credit. Okay. It's incremental. Karma, on the other hand, if you attach yourself to the results and it is not incremental, it is one or zero. It's that way. So in the spirit of dedicating your results to the Lord, you win all the time. And he says that is karma yoga. It's incremental. Every act matters. In fact, this beautiful sight comes to my mind. We had gone to Badrinath.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I was just stunned when I saw this, because I was standing there and deep below Ganga is flowing. The river Ganga is flowing with tremendous force and energy, and right on top, about 15-20 meters from where the river was flowing,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of snow here and there, and the snow was melting.
Mm-hmm.
And a drop by drop it was falling into the Ganga.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment it struck me that it is these drops that form this mighty Ganga. You cannot overlook these drops. every drop is adding to Ganga. You can, if you overlook the importance of a single drop, and you say, you know, how does it matter? It's after all a drop. But it is these drops that make the mighty Ganga. So I think everything starts with a single act.
Right. And as I think another speaker beautifully put, you know, the beauty of selflessness is, either you can do an act selflessly, but the beauty is, you can make the act selfless even after it is done.
Okay.
Like, you know, even when you're doing it, if you're doing it with a selfish motive, with the eye on the result, he says you can give it up even after the act is done.
Okay.
You know, when after doing it, when you say, you know, Krishna Arpanam or Saishwara Arpanam or something, that's what even Swami told, I think, Brother Sonam was sharing the other day. Even when you're doing it like that, to as an afterthought, even if you offer it to God, it becomes a selfless act.
Beautiful. That concession is given as
concession is there. I think going by what we're discussing now, I think our role is do the speaking as much as we can and don't bother about if listeners are writing to you or not or listening to us or not. But dear listeners, nevertheless, we would love to listen from all of you what you think about this program and any suggestions you have. And we do hope that all of us together as a family are able to go into these discourses, which are simply priceless. There's nothing more to say about these discourses.
Right.
So we have so much gratitude to Swami to offer for giving us this opportunity through this program to do that. And we hope all of you also have the same opportunity by listening to us and being with us. So do join us again next week. I'm sure some of the points that Swami made in the last clip will definitely need a revisit next week. We'll do that.
Exactly.
So with much humility, we offer this humble effort of ours at Swami's Lotus Feet. You'll be joined by Brother Bishu for the last segment of the day, Outside Inside, Deep Inside, shortly. Happy listening.